You're listening to episode 9 of the Oh Mama podcast with Libby and Jess. We want to be your new favorite mom friends, dishing on all the things: parenting, marriage, careers, and our latest television and Target obsessions. In this episode, we learn all about Jess's bold matchmaking aspirations with her doctors, no less. We compare holiday traditions and favorite gifts, including a grandma bracelet and a trip to a WWE show. We talk New Year's resolutions, daycare, and the new season of The Bachelor with Pilot Pete. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the
Oh Mama
podcast. I'm Libby.
And I'm Jess.
And we are coming to you today from Richmond, Virginia. We're two neighbor moms. We met each other because our kids were in the same elementary school class. And she became my first friend in the neighborhood. Like one of those friends that you can actually walk by their house and feel comfortable enough to knock on the door and go inside, like when they're eating dinner. And then she's so gracious, she'd be like, do you want to eat some of our dinner also? And the kids are like, yeah. So we knew it was like a good friendship from that moment on. A little bit about me, some fun facts. I love pink and anything sparkly. I worked in film and television in Los Angeles and other cities. I'm a Christian. I have 4 kids. And I am newly married to my husband, Nick.
And I am Jess, and when she says we offer to feed her, it's like dinosaur nuggets, so don't be too impressed.
The kids loved it. That's all that mattered.
And I'm from Long Island, but I've been living in Virginia long enough to feel that it is my home. I think it's the new year, so I'm thinking about like how I describe myself, what my goals are.
Okay.
I'm trying to be like a good enough mom, not like an amazing mom, but like a good enough mom.
You are an amazing mom.
I'll take good enough. And just trying to find some balance in life. I've got 3 kids, 2 in elementary and 1 in daycare, and it can be a lot to manage. So I'm trying to find time for me and trying to find time for them and trying to find a little bit of gratitude while doing that and have more fun. That's always a goal, to have more fun.
That was very introspective. I appreciate that.
Feeling deep tonight.
I was like pink and sparkly and shopping.
Oh, and I have a husband who I love. I should mention that. Props to Pat, who is handling bedtime at this moment.
Oh, yeah. We're recording during bedtime.
My favorite time to record.
Yeah. Nick was like, seriously? I'm like, yeah, bye, honey.
Oh, mama, mama, the drama's thick when you step in the swift. They like, oh, 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 mama, mama, the drama's thick when you step in the swift. You now ride with Libby and Jess, and you about to get yourself a little blessing. They got plenty of lessons and even more children. They got stress every day that's building and building, but they still keep it clear with a fresh point of view. And if you tuned in, you're about to get a little bitty clue of what it's like to be a working mom with fashion and to love your kids and God with plenty of passion, and realize what it's like to be working so hard that you don't even feel like you got time for your squad or even to write a letter to your mom or your dad. And if you ain't feeling good, then maybe you feeling bad. Well, these two ladies here for you, and they coming through this microphone, whether you at work in your whip or if you right at home. I hope you subscribe and never hide from the truth. You now rock with the two illest ladies in the booth. Let's go.
How was your Christmas? What happened? Tell me all the details.
Well, we kind of were, I guess, in the grand scheme of things, more local. We only went to Long Island this holiday season. And so it was kind of a Christmaka because it was Hanukkah and Christmas.
That's right.
And we did like little Hanukkah parties with my parents and relatives that would come in. Like one day we did a Hanukkah party with my brother and his wife and my niece and nephew, my sister-in-law. I feel like weird saying his wife because she's my sister-in-law, not my brother's wife.
Wait, so what is a Hanukkah party? Is that like
latkes, and we spun the dreidel, and you can
earn. What's a latke?
It's like a potato pancake.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you had latkes, you spun the dreidel.
We earned chocolate coins if you won this gambling game.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's pretty high stakes.
My kids would like that.
And, I mean, our Hanukkah party includes things that, like, aren't really central to Hanukkah just because of, like, the things that people want to do. Like, they were playing with their hoverboards, and my dad had them starting on coin books.
Playing with presents?
Yeah, just playing.
Do you exchange gifts there?
We do exchange gifts.
Okay.
And then there was, like, another... Yeah, Kara walked in the next day. She's like, another feast? Because I guess we had more relatives.
So cool.
Yeah, it was fun. So,
and is it always, like the traditional... I don't know what else besides latkes you eat, but it's always, like, the traditional meal, or...
The foods of Hanukkah are fried foods.
Ooh.
It's, like, the best holiday food situation ever.
No wonder you gain weight. I know.
You're supposed to eat donuts and...
Ooh, yum.
Yeah, and latkes, fried potatoes. Anything fried with oil is, like, very...
That sounds yummier than turkey and gravy.
I do like it. Not gonna lie. I enjoy it. Yeah, so we had some fun, but then Dylan kind of took sick. It was unfortunate. So Christmas is different because my parents are Jewish and they don't really do a Christmas, which makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
But the kids were a little worried about what would happen over Christmas because they're used to going to my husband's family.
Yeah, but did Santa come for them?
So, yes.
Okay.
So, like, we had all these presents. We hadn't, like, gotten our act together enough to, you know,
wrap
figure out all that stuff. Yeah, like, wrap them, all that. But then the night before Christmas, when we realized how sick Dylan was and that we weren't going to Brooke's house and there would be no tree, you know, things like that.
Yeah,
Pat hit Target up an hour before it closed in Long Island.
Aww.
And came home with, like... a lot of stuff and created a Christmas scene.
Like Christmas decorations, you mean?
Yeah, he got, like, stockings, which I don't know why we didn't do that before.
No.
But, like, yeah, for each kid and put a whole bunch of stuff in each of them. And then he put Christmas lights on my parents' ficus plant.
I saw that.
And, like, loads of toys, you know, under the tree. So when they woke up, there was Christmas morning magic.
And those were supposed to be from Santa or also you guys, too?
Kind of for everyone. I think the Santa presents were mostly, we don't even know. We're, like, we just... tried to, like, get it all under there. I think most of the Santa presents were in the stockings.
Okay,
and then Dylan...
But the kids think that Santa came to the house.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
But then Dylan later was like, did Santa only put stuff in our stockings? And I'm having a flashback of last year when she's like, are you Santa? I'm like, yes, I'm Santa. But somehow we're still in the charade. So, yes. Apparently, I don't even know what to say.
Every year, I feel like, we've talked about this before, where I have, like, holiday amnesia. I'm like, what do I tell you every year? Why don't I write this down?
It's like PTSD from all the what remains.
Well, and when you combine holidays, like, with your spouse or whatever, and they're like, Santa gives stockings. And I'm like, no, he doesn't. And, you know, Santa gives the big unwrapped present. And,
oh, man.
And then, like, Valley and David were in Alaska for Christmas, and apparently the elves visited their house and rang the doorbell and left a box. And then you're, like, explaining why.
Well, in Alaska, the elves are really personable.
And then you're just trying to explain, why does that house not have an elf on the shelf? But we do. But the elves visit that house and leave a box by the door. And, you know what I mean?
It's the tangled web we weave.
The tangled web of lies.
It's a lot.
Of Christmas magic.
So how is it? So you've then got the baby and Emma for Christmas?
Yeah, that's what we had. And we get Emma every year for Christmas Day at least because her mom is Jewish. And so, like, Nick is like, I'm never giving up Christmas Day.
This is the beauty of, like, an interfaith family.
So we had Emma and the baby. So we just celebrate multiple times and it gets... its own complexity, because we're like, well, Emma, how many of your presents do you want to open? Do you want to open half of them? All of them? But remember, when Valley and David come back, they'll be opening their presents, and you don't want to be left out, you know?
The restraint. Can she, like, restrain herself? Or?
She did, but it's still hard. Like, it wasn't hard on Christmas morning to not open them all, because, like, the only comparison was Jacob, who got, like, three things.
So it feels like a lot.
Yeah, so she was fine. But then... when we celebrate again with Valley and David, it's like she only has half as many presents as them, and you feel just, you know...
everybody's, like, slighted.
Left out a little bit. And so you're like, oh, but remember all those presents you opened, like, a week ago? Remember those?
And how quickly they lose their luster, too.
Oh,
like, it's
gosh.
So exciting, and then it's nothing to them.
Yeah, I'm not even sure, like, David cared what he got as much as how much he got this year, which was kind of new, but he's, like, really into, like, counting and collecting and, you know, like...
He should have invented our...
Categorizing all his coin stuff. Yeah, his coin, yeah, he loves coins. So he's like, I got 12 presents. I got, you know, we're like, what? You're keeping track right now?
It's got like a bar graph. This year was a little better.
I've got a check mark next to each one.
That's cute.
But it was still good. I did have a question for you. I posted this on Instagram, but like, what is your, well, maybe you don't have this because you don't do Christmas as much, but you did do it with your kids this year. So what's your Christmas morning routine? And I mean, like, what do you do before you go down the stairs? So as a kid, my parents were like, you have to get dressed. So we had some sort of, I'm sure, Christmas outfit, or my aunt used to make us.
Whoa.
My aunt used to make us those like sweatshirts with the iron-on characters with like the puff paint embroidery, you know, like the puppy on the
very
present.
Very 80s. I like it.
Yeah. You know, find a picture of that and post it. So we'd have some Christmas outfit, but like, you know, my parents would get dressed. And then my dad would have to go down and futz with, like, the archaic video camera. And like, I don't think he probably ever bought a new one for, you know, probably until I was, like, 18. So he'd be down. It felt like he was down there for an hour trying to get that camera to work. And so my sister and I would just be sitting at the top of the stairs, like, can we come down now? Can we come down yet? So I feel like I had this whole childhood where I had to, like, exert a lot of patience and wait for all this to happen. And so now I let them wear pajamas, and I'm like, that is like so low maintenance of me. Everybody's in pajamas. Like, I'm in pajamas. All I do is like throw on a bra and like a sweatshirt sweater. I put on a headband. I probably put on a pair of earrings, and then I put like cream blush on my cheeks and lips. And that's all I did. So I was like, I am.
That's like me at a wedding, by the way. Just saying.
Like, Nick and Oliver acting like it's like putting them out. I'm like, we're talking 10 minutes. Come on. If that, it took more time to just debate with them about how much time I was taking than it took to, like, you know,
yeah,
add a little bit of color to myself.
So I didn't grow up with a Christmas morning situation, yeah. But I think what we've done when we're with Pat's family, which is like kind of the ideal way to celebrate Christmas.
Yeah.
I mean, they wake up like really early and they do their stockings. That's like they'll open up this, they'll look into the stockings that Santa has left.
Okay.
And play with that stuff and eat those candies or whatever. Yeah. And then wait for like everybody to be up, and then we all eat.
Oh, wait. So you let the kids go downstairs and do stockings?
Yeah.
And the grandparents can sleep in or whatever?
Yeah, people can sleep if they want. Like if it's 4 a.m. and they're up and they want to do stockings, go for it. And then eventually everybody gets up and somebody makes, usually Pat or his mom, his mom. My mother-in-law will make a coffee cake.
Yeah.
So there's like Christmas morning coffee cake and everybody's, like
cinnamon rolls.
Having their breakfast.
And
then
you do that before you open presents?
And then after breakfast, you convene at the couches.
And your kids make it all the way through breakfast?
I mean, they're like hopped up on Santa's stockings. They've gotten a lot of good stuff already.
Yeah. Okay, what are your stockings? Because mine is like candy and markers and some small trinket. I think I had a UVA shirt in there this year.
It's pretty good, yeah. I mean,
that the kids are excited about.
Pat went a little nuts this year because of his Target adventure.
Yeah.
But when Pat's parents usually do the stockings when we visit them, and the kids like the stuff. It's like gum and chocolate and Tic Tacs and like games and like little things to play with.
I mean, I feel like that it's a huge deal your kids wait through breakfast to open the presents.
It's pure pressure. This is like the system.
That
is
amazing. I feel like my family should not be giving me crap for putting on some lip gloss, because we don't eat until like all the presents are open. We're starving, and that's totally my memory of Christmas. Like, my dad gets like a can of peanuts, and we're all like, can we have some peanuts? We're starving, you know? but that's funny.
But when you were talking about how you get yourself, like, how you let them wear pajamas.
Yeah.
Is it bad that Baker wears pajamas only
school? On the subject of pajamas, I will say, the cute little matching ones that they have these days, and maybe they also had them in the 80s, but my point being is my parents never bought me them. So, like, I think their little, like, cute matching pajamas are adorable, and they're all, like, fitted with, like, cute kids or whatever. Like, I didn't have that.
I mean, they're
crap
not that different from the regular outfits.
Did you have that as a kid?
No.
No, okay. And, like, literally, I can't remember which kid it was the other day. One of our girls, maybe both of them, were like, I don't have enough matching pajamas you need to buy me more matching pajamas.
I love the you need to buy me statements.
I was just like, yeah. What? Like, literally as a kid, I wore a giant t-shirt or something for like 4 nights straight. Like, that's been a... I also showered every night because my parents... But I make my kids shower every night. So, like... And they literally, like, wear a whole set, bottom and top, throw it in the dirty laundry the next morning. I'm like, can't you wear that a couple nights? Can't you wear pajamas more than one night?
I think you totally can. I feel like we're not good at making them do that. But we need to improve on that. It's bad for the environment to... Yeah, and it's bad for our laundry.
It's bad for mommy's sanity.
It's bad for all of us. No, we all need to improve upon that.
I just was like mind blown. We're like, any more matching pajamas? Oh my gosh.
But your kids bathe like regularly. So mine are more in the feral kind of situations. I don't know that that would really be that hygienic. But
I don't think it's bad that he wears pajamas. David definitely, when I lived with my parents and my mom got my kids ready half the days when I was working, David definitely wore his pajama shirt to school a lot of days. I think she generally put some sort of different pants on him.
That's fair.
Does he wear the pajama pants, too?
Yeah. Not every day, but majority. did you do anything fun over break? Because you weren't, it wasn't Christmas the whole break.
No.
Christmas isn't Christmas fun, but.
You know, honestly, like, I feel like our time off from work was just, like, rushing around to buy the presents, which every year I'm like, I don't want to do that. But, like, as the family expands... although I guess we only added Jacob last year but it just ends up never failing to where like you just run around and you feel like you have to buy 14 different people presents and then wrap them. And then like, I think Nick and I probably got carried away, like just like watching TV at night. And so like for 3 nights in a row, we're like wrapping presents. It's 2 a.m. We're like, what are we doing? You know? Cool. So I just felt kind of like exhausted after Christmas, but that's okay. Let me see. My updates for Christmas of like fun things were I think I mentioned to you, I might not have told you on the podcast, that I was toying around with the idea of a DIY gift for Christmas, which quickly got nixed by my mom.
She told you, don't make me something?
She was like, I don't think you should give a DIY gift to me, your sister, or especially your in-laws. And I was like,
please don't.
Okay. But I'd always wanted one of those, like, wreaths, those ornament wreaths that you see at Christmas on people's doors. And I feel like especially in the city and in Richmond, like you see all these gorgeous, probably some people think they're tacky, but I don't think anything is tacky at Christmas. Like the more the better for me. So like you just see like the big ribbons and the glitter and the shiny, and I was just like, I want one of those so badly. So I basically waited until like a couple of days before Christmas. Oh, I know what it was. I was like, I really want to do that. And, like, I put all the ornaments in my cart in Target, like, online. And then I was like, no, I don't need to do this. I don't need to spend the money. And then, like, literally, we were trying to, like, celebrate Valley and David before they left for 2 weeks. And Valley was like, I really want to make a wreath with you. And so then I was like, oh, no, let me try to find ornaments the last, you know, last minute. And, like, Target was, like, shopped out. This is, like, a week or 5 days before Christmas. And they were, like... bears. Like, literally, I am, like, one night, my parents, I don't know what, oh, and we were sick, so my husband took my baby to, like, urgent care, and my dad's driving us home at, like, 10:30 at night, because we'd driven in the same car, and I'm like, can you stop by the Target and Short Pump so I can go by there and see if there's ornaments left and get, like, the last, like, box of ornaments? So anyways, I got ornaments, and I started this wreath, and I just went crazy. Like, I just kept adding, and long story short, I feel like my wreath turned out really good. I might make some changes where I don't use some of the, like, the glitter ornaments that don't show up as well that are neutral colored, but it's really pretty. Like, don't you think?
We're staring at it right now. It is really professional looking.
I posted it on Instagram on my Libby Peterson RVA account, and this is my, like, example of I don't focus, but it was such a fun, creative outlet, and it wasn't staring at a computer, you know? And it was so much fun to do that I was like, I want to make some and sell some, so I'll keep you posted. I probably shouldn't do this, but I did buy some ornaments that are mermaid colors, and I was like, I think I could do mermaid colors for spring and try to sell them, so...
That would be a fun, like, we'll how see. You do those little birthday parties for your kids in your house. Like, have each kid make a little ornament
make
a little wreath or something.
That is a good idea. We are already planning Valley's birthday party. So that was kind of, like, my one of my favorite things. And I think my other favorite thing was just going to church service on Christmas Eve. And, like, Emma got really into it. Because usually during church service, the kids are, like, in their own kids' service or, like, Sunday school type thing. And so for Christmas Eve, they weren't. And so we didn't go to, like, the kid-friendly service. We just went to the normal service. And, like, at 9 p.m., so she was, like, standing on the pew. We were, like, near the very front. And she was, like, singing her heart out, like, super loudly. And then that's, like, the best service of the whole year. You get to sing all the beautiful carols, like, Oh Holy Night and, you know, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And so that was fun. And then another fun thing we did was my sister had us watch, like, slides from our childhood, like slides. My dad used to always take slides from our vacations. Like, instead of just regular photographs, he would take, like, slide photographs, you know? And then we would have a slideshow. There's probably an episode of the Goldbergs on this.
Sounds very Goldberg-y.
So we started watching it, and Nick was like, whoa, your sister was, like, so into how cute she was.
She's really feeling herself.
He was like, she reminded me of you, but, like, way more. Like, she was like, did you see how cute I was? Look, I'm, like, the cutest kid ever. Look how cute I was. I'm so cute. Look at my hair. Meanwhile, I'm like, look at the clothes Mom had us in. Like, my shirts are, like, five sizes too big so I can wear them for 5 years. And I've got, like, the, like, pleated culottes that are just, like, you know, like, so big and frumpy. And I was like, cool.
My dad had 13, like, camera rolls or whatever, like, for me to look through a picture. Mm-hmm. 13, I don't know, like, I'm losing my words, Libby, which I have more to say about. I know. So I was looking through all these pictures of myself.
Just gesture and I'll come up with the word.
I'll mime for you. When I was little and I, no joke, was wearing, like, a sweater and leggings and all. I was like, oh, this has been, like, my uniform.
Well, that's, like, stylish. Well, I mean, I was completely, like, 80s dork.
No, I mean, this is not, like, a good sweater and leggings, but I like to think that some things never change because that's still, like, what I consider to be my uniform.
I like to think that things do change.
Both are good.
I was like, am I wearing your shirt, Mom? Like, it was so big.
Well, they were all like, didn't you buy, like, extra large? I feel like,
oh,
I
yeah, my mom was frugal, so for sure she always bought us clothes that were, like, three sizes too big.
And
like,
that was
at least in elementary school, so I could wear them, like, 3 years in a row. And it was a fashion to have, like, baggier clothes, but, like, I was just like, oh, Mom.
Speaking of losing my words, I went to the OB for my annual checkup.
Oh, I was like, the OB? Are you pregnant? What's happening?
Hell no. Never again. And she, I was telling her about an issue that I was having, and I was like, I did see
you
the...
You tell more.
It's not the cutest issue, but I was, I thought, like, I had a UTI, and, you know, so I, like, had gone to the urologist, but in the moment that I was trying to tell her this, I couldn't remember the name of the urologist. And I was like, you know, I did go to a specialist. My brain isn't really working.
Doctor.
It's like the pee-pee doctor. And then I was like, oh my God, I am, like, there's no hope for me. Like, I just described a urologist as a pee-pee doctor.
I'm a urologist.
Come back from that.
Sorry.
You do?
Yeah. It's not even going to be funny, but I just remember when I was living with my parents, I think, and again, the whole, like, you need to get dating again. And my dad was having cancer checkups in Florida. And I guess part of his cancer checkup was he also had to see, like, a heart doctor down there and a urologist, apparently. And he was like, that urologist, let me tell you. And I don't know why it sounded so dorky to me. But, like, it's a doctor. But I was like, I just can't handle you talking about a urologist who's, like, eligible. Like, I just
can't. He was trying to set you up?
Yeah, like, maybe you should date the urologist.
So I gotta tell you the story. Okay, so you know I have ulcerative colitis and I've had colonoscopies and I have had really weird responses to, and here I am trying, I'm like, what's the word for sedation? But for, you know, to, like, different forms of sedation. Yeah, anesthesia. Yeah. Thank you.
Did you hit on your doctor?
No, but I tried to set him up with my friend.
Oh.
And I woke up with his number in my sock.
Normal life. In your sock?
Yeah.
He's like, I'll tuck it in there on the
way out.
Well,
I mean, I'm sure that there was more, but you, like, you lose consciousness. So, like, I remember, like, talking to him.
Is that because that was the only clothing you had on? I'm sorry. What?
So, okay, this is all I remember. Okay. Yeah. I'm talking to him and I'm thinking, like, oh, he's nice. And then I was, like, thinking about my friend Brooke, who now is happily married and everything's great.
Was he, like, McDreamy nice?
He was just a really nice guy. I don't. He seemed genuine, but he was like a good 15 years older than we were at the time. And
but I'm making 15 times as much money, so.
I mean, her current husband, who's like her only husband, is also much older than her. But at the time, I think, it was just weird, I think. And I also couldn't really recall all the bits of it because you're like.
You're a dedicated friend, that's what you are.
I mean, I just really wanted to see that happen, but I'm a really bad matchmaker, and this is like no exception to that track record. But I did remember telling him about her, and then I felt some, like, you wake up later because you don't even know what happens. You just lose track and you're, like, gone. Well, they do procedures and then you wake up. And I felt like something was weird in my sock and I see his number and his name. I told my friend, she's like, gross. You did what? I'm like,
why is that gross? I like that you did that. Yeah,
thanks, Libby. Sorry, Brooke.
If I were single, I would completely approve of you setting me up with your anesthesiologist.
I mean, what would you do? Would you ever call the urologist or the anesthesiologist?
I mean, he obviously was, like, open to it. Although that's probably true. Would have been scared off by 15 years older.
And then I couldn't help myself. Later, I was at the eye doctor, and I was thinking about my other friend. And I just kept thinking, like, maybe this would be a good match. And I called.
Really, I'm all this time with you. I'm just thinking.
And I asked him if I could, like, have my eyes dilated because I was also breastfeeding, but he didn't know if the drops would correlate with breastfeeding. So I looked it up, and then I was like, oh, this will be my in. I could tell him that, yes, you can in the future recommend dilation to people that are nursing. And then I could talk about my friend Anne. But I got the voicemail.
Wait, what? That made no sense. Okay, because right. She's nursing? What?
No, because I wanted to set him up with her. I was thinking this is a different doctor I tried to set up with a friend unsuccessfully.
No, but what was the connection? You can dilate your eyes, and therefore you can introduce him to your friend Anne?
Because he said he didn't know. I was
so
like,
you can call your friend Anne and ask her?
No. We're going to have to cut all of this. Should we just skip it?
No, finish. All right.
All right, So I remember thinking, like, oh, he seems like he would be a good fit for my friend Anne. And in the whole, like, checkup, I asked him if I could get my eyes dilated.
This makes me think of the Friends episode. I'm sorry. With Tom Selleck, where she's all like, right? She's so into Richard, except you're not into him. You're just trying to set him up with your friend. But, sorry.
Everything all roads lead to Friends.
Did he look like Tom Selleck?
No.
Okay. Because then you would have been approved for 15 years older.
Then it would. Well, he was actually maybe even younger than my friend Anne. This is a different situation. Different friend.
Sorry to interrupt.
No. So she, like, was a friend of mine that I knew was single, and he seemed like a really nice eye doctor. And he was really young and seemed nice. Seemed like perhaps a
was
good
he
fit.
Was he cute?
Yeah,
he
was cute. No.
Nice. Okay.
No, he was cute. He was very cute. And so I had asked him if I could get my eyes dilated, and I told him that I was nursing, and he said he didn't know. So we skipped the dilation, or maybe
don't
we did
they just
the dilation.
Put a drop in?
Yeah, but like, you know, they don't know about the blood barrier. I don't know. It's okay. A whole thing. So after I left, I just kept thinking about my friend Anne, and shouldn't I have tried to set him up with her? And then I remember thinking, like, well, it's not too late. Like, I can call and let him know, because I'd done research. I could call and let him know that in the future, he could tell patients that ask, yes, they could get their eyes dilated, even if they're nursing.
And
that's totally safe.
Oh, by the way, here's my friend's number.
Which is what I did on the voicemail, which I'm sure his nurses checked. So I'm at work, and I call the number, and it rings, and it's the voicemail. And I'm like, hey, this is Jessica. You know, I was in earlier, I asked you about the, you know, the eye drop thing and the nursing, and I just wanted to let you know, I did find an answer to that. Oh, and by the way, I did think that you would be a great fit for my friend Anne, and this is her number in case you want to call her. And then I hung up because it was all on voicemail, and my coworker Tim is like, he just spun around in his chair, and his mouth is wide open, and he looks at me, he's like, did that just happen?
I thought you were going to have him dilate your eyes so that you couldn't drive home and she to come pick you up.
That would have been a clever trick. I don't think he would have left his job to take me home.
No, she comes to pick you up.
Oh, yeah, okay. There we go.
So next time you're at the eye doctor, now you know what to do.
Well, she's married. She doesn't need me anymore for that.
Other friend.
All right. I'll get some single friends.
Basically, you're proving yourself to be the
worst
perfect wing woman. Okay, let's talk Christmas and Hanukkah gifts.
Let's do it.
Okay. Some of my memorable presents this year were Emma gave me a bracelet. She has a little, like, you shop at school, you give her, like, a couple dollars to the family members, and she picks out, like, a 50-cent gift for each person. And I opened up this bracelet, and I swore it said mom on it. And I was like, oh, my gosh, she got me a mom bracelet. Like, I'm so happy, and, you know, this is so amazing. And then I wore it to work, I guess the first day back at work, and I look at the little charm that I thought said mom, and it said grandma. And I was like, and I literally, legitimately thought, oh, she must have bought one also for grandma, and we just somehow swapped them because I had it sitting on the shelf, yeah. You know? So I call Nick, and he's like on speaker, or like he's talking to Emma at home because she's off school and he's at home with her. And so then he asks her, and she's like, no, I only bought the bracelet for you. And so then we end up, like, making Emma feel bad because she has a grandma bracelet. But she's like, I swear the package said mom. And I know I saw mom, too, on something. And so I was like, oh, I wasn't trying to make you feel bad. I just thought we, like, swapped bracelets. Like, I still love it.
So now you have to, like, really be proud of your grandma bracelet that you need to wear all the time.
So I got a grandma bracelet, so.
Well, congratulations. That was quick.
We bought David a pet fish, and it died before he came home. We bought it, like, like a day before he came home, and it died. I was like, this is not a good sign. So he got to pick out his own fish, so it turned out okay in the end. We got, one really good gift from my sister and brother-in-law. They gave one of the kids Dance Dance 2020 for the Nintendo Switch.
I like, saw Dance your Dance. Picture.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. It is so fun and hard. And part of me is like, I'm going to do this dance and memorize all these dance moves, and then I will be an awesome dancer.
I will be the queen.
Yeah. So that's my 2020 goal. And we got a ton of American Girl doll stuff. And, like, our two daughters share a bedroom. So already, like, they need a new room just for their American Girl dolls and their stuff. Like, I don't know. Like, they're like, well, they need their own desk and bed and, you know, school set and bedroom. And these are, like, not Barbie. So it's, like, a giant, like, it's crazy. I feel like I might regret ever introducing American Girl.
Our American Girl doll fixation was very short-lived.
Because, I mean, even if you bought cheaper stuff from Target, it's huge. Like, have you seen it? It's like, do you want the beach house? And it's like a tiny, it's like all they can do is sit there, but it's like the size of the front of your car. And
I think the whole, like, I don't know. Our kids just never got that into it. Like, they thought it was fun. The novelty of it wore off, and then they were kind of done with it. And they actually didn't want them anymore. The girls were really excited to get hoverboards from their aunt, which
was...
How
did that work? Did anybody break a bone yet?
Pat almost did. He was like, I can't wait to try this. And he's like, this is a lot harder than it looks. And I think he's, like, over the weight limit, too. But he's like, I'm close.
I'm close to the weight of a 12-year-old child.
Before breakfast, you know, hop on the board and then eat. So they were, like, navigating my parents' basement on these hoverboards. That was exciting.
Mm. They were on the basement floor? Was it carpeted or anything?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
I just have, like, really bad memories of, like, being a little kid on the basement floor. Sorry.
Kara's got good control on that. Then Dylan, too. But, like, they're, like, remarkable on those things. And Baker is very into food and, like, play food.
Jacob got a toy kitchen.
Yay!
Baker should come over and play.
Baker would love it. So he has a toy kitchen in our kitchen. He has, and then he spent, like, his $75 Target gift card on a hot pink toy kitchen for the playroom. And then he has a food truck that's, like, a little tiny food truck.
Oh, my gosh, that's so cute.
With, like, little calico critters that go camping outside the food truck. So he's, like, he's in heaven. He's like, can I make you a smoothie? Can I get you a cupcake? Like, it's constant order taking.
I love it. And my dad was like, my grandson is playing with a toy kitchen. And my sister-in-law gave him one of those, like, cleaning sets with, like, a broom and a mop, like, that hang on the little stand. And I'm like, I want him to like cooking. I hope in like 8 years he's like cooking me food, like Master Chef Junior it up. Like,
Pat has an apron collection, and we named our son Baker. So clearly, like,
cooking.
Yeah,
I love it.
The women in my family don't know how to cook, so neither do the men. But Pat is different, and Baker, and hopefully we'll will raise people that know how to feed themselves.
Yeah, I was just like, yes, he loves it. And this toy kitchen is so cute. Like, it's like copper fixtures with a marble countertop.
It's really adorable. I feel like these toys have gotten way better.
They're so much cuter than our, like, red, yellow, and blue plastic stuff that we had. And I would say, too, that, like, the surprise hit for Jacob was I hadn't saved the kitchen, but I had... Previously, Valley had had a play kitchen, and so I'd save, like, the play food. So I was, like, digging through and finding all that stuff at my mom's house and bringing it back. And she also had, like, a tea set, and so there was this, like, teapot that's, like, pink with a flower on it, and you tip it over and, like, fake liquid out, you know? That is Jacob's favorite thing. So he just goes around the room pouring... drink for everybody, like, and he could probably do it for like an hour.
I mean, that's the thing, it makes them so happy and it keeps them so busy.
Yeah,
it's the best.
Yeah, I was like, that was free, like, we didn't have to buy him anything really. But
the magic of the holidays. My parents took the kids to see some cool things.
Oh,
that was, like,
gosh.
Part of their presents.
I heard that.
Yeah.
Tell me where they was.
So one night they took them to Madison Square Garden to see the wrestlers, the WWE.
Wrestlers? They went to the wrestlers? Oh, my gosh. Nick's dream to take David to both of these things you're going to talk about. Okay, first of all, I just say, like, I don't know what picture I totally have of your parents in my head, but it's definitely not WWE.
Oh, they're like, not. They're like old Jews in Long Island, but...
I don't know what that means, but...
I think Goldbergs.
But. Okay. She did want to go to Live Aid. Why did they pick W? Did one of your girls mention an interest?
My dad gets tickets sometimes to things because of his newspaper.
so he's like,
we got these free tickets. And the girls are like, we're in. And then he took them to the Harlem Globetrotters.
What was their reaction to the WWE?
So the sleeper hit was Kara loved it. My, like, most peaceful child was like, that was amazing.
Was it men or women? Do they have women?
I didn't even ask. I was like, is everybody happy? Good.
You need to have Kara on the podcast.
Yeah, Kara would like to guest.
Your, like, very quiet middle child was, like, in love with the WWE wrestlers.
Yeah, she was.
Did she come home with, like, trading cards or something? Or
There were no souvenirs. I can only imagine.
Any body glitter rubbed on her?
No, but she has been a little more punchy lately. I will say that. And then they took
Hey, Gert, come over here. It's practice.
They have been scuffling in a way that I do not enjoy. And he doesn't understand, like, I mean, he thinks that she's, like, play fighting.
Yeah.
So now he thinks it's like, oh, we play fight now. And maybe they do. Sort of. It's confusing.
Okay.
Because it starts off play fighting and then someone gets hurt. And
oh, yeah.
You
play till somebody gets hurt.
I don't love that. Yeah. But... And then they went to see the Harlem Globetrotters, also at Madison Square Garden. So just fun things like that.
Madison Square Garden, like, I imagine that's, like, not an easy place to go to. I feel like my parents, and I totally understand this, are like, well, is there a parking close by? Like, we don't want to, like, go to the city and have to, like, parks on a side street.
They had to walk, like, 8 blocks or something. Which
I guess they're used to New York City, but even for me, I'm like, oh my gosh, I went to Madison Square Garden like 3 nights in a row. Like, who are these young, wild people?
Pat is more, I mean, I don't know how he does it. He drives around the city like it's nothing. So
Just drop them off?
He dropped them off and then found parking and then met them and then they all walked back to the car.
Okay.
And then Pat and I went to dinner one night in the city because I was with Pat earlier in the day. We had like a day in the city and went to the nutritionist and all that and then saw friends for dinner. And Pat drank a little too much wine at dinner and I drove us home from Manhattan. I was so proud of myself.
Wait, you're the New Yorker.
I know, but I'm not a good driver. Remember?
Okay. We talked about this. Did you get any parked cars?
No, but I was really mad at him. I was like, can't believe you drank that much. Now I have to drive. But then when we got home, I was really proud of myself. So
I'm like, yes, I'm awesome. Didn't they also go see the monster trucks?
Oh, no.
Okay, I think I saw WWE and thought that was the monster trucks, which I just saw on the TV. I think it was here or something. And I was like, wow, those little Hot Wheelers are real, like, real life, like...
It's real.
You can see them in real life. Oh, I am just, like, impressed. And now I'm secretly thinking, no offense to Pat's family, that you went to New York for Christmas because it's hecka fun.
We didn't do that much fun.
How can Seattle compete?
Well, Seattle has the... You know, like that, like, that family feel. Yeah. And so does New York. But, you know, we
Seattle have a is a family feel, but I your know, family
no,
does.
That was that came out wrong. Let's delete that part. that traditional Christmas feel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds really fun. Any big New Year's things to report? I'll share mine briefly. I think we mostly like stayed in the house, like probably after Christmas, and I think Nick was feeling really like antsy, or what's it called, like stir crazy.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, I'll take any opportunity to put on my rainbow sparkle dress, you know, let's go out somewhere, but let's not make it like, again, like my parents, you know, let's not go into the city because I don't want to have to like park and walk with the baby and Emma, like that's a lot to deal with. So it was sort of like, let's go out to the suburbs, to the mall and eat and you know, the Mexican restaurant in the mall. I think Nick was kind of like, lame.
Did you do that with your sparkle dress on?
Yeah.
On New Year's Eve?
Yeah. And it just was so easy because there weren't many people there. And it just, because I've been into the city before New Year's Eve and it's like, there's like a set menu and it's really expensive and like it's all booked up. Because I did call one restaurant in the city and they were like, we have an opening at like 9. And I was like, I am not going out at 9 p.m.
With a baby?
Yeah, with Emma and the baby. Like, that's not going to happen. So we went out. I was like, I'll go anywhere in the sparkle dress. We can go to the grocery store, Target. Just, you know, I'll put on the dress.
Target is occasion enough.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. So I was happy to just do that. And Emma was excited to get dressed up in her fancy dress.
That's cute.
Yeah. I was going to ask you if you have, besides what you did that night, if you had any resolutions, and I tried to like pick out some personal goals, but one thing that came up was Nick was like, in a like a really loving way, he was like, I've decided we should have a monthly date night. Because we used to, I don't know, you always hear people talk about like weekly date nights.
I know. How do they do that?
I don't know. I think for like a hot second, we decided we were going to do that when we were first married, but like my mom, like as soon as my mom was like watching Jacob, it just became like too much to ask her to like also come over and babysit, so we kind of just lost that, and like now we'll like buy tickets to a concert or something every once in a while and do that. But Nick was like, let's have a monthly date night, and I was like, oh, that's so great that you want to do that with me. And then like we immediately fought about like what that should look like or how to do that.
What was the disagreement?
He was like, well, I think, you know, it was like, you know, loving moment to like immediate like, nah, it's not gonna work, I disagree with that. But he was like, well, I think we should do, you know, like the same day every month, like the third Saturday of every month. And I was like, oh, I don't think we should do that. I think we should like plan ahead, see what the events are we want to go to and choose based on that. And so, you know, it was just stupid. Listen, like, yeah. Then we end up just like, and I was like, let's go to this concert. And he's like, do you really like them? How much money is that? Ooh, are
can you like take turns planning the date night?
Yeah, I think that would be fine. I think it was just, like, the initial conflict of, like, when do we do it? Like,
not like
is
that.
Is it more important just to have it, like, regularly scheduled? Or is it more important to, like, really, like, plan something that you want to do?
Quality versus quantity.
You know?
Oh, man.
What are your resolutions, and what was your New Year's like?
So we were, our friends invited us to their home for New Year's, which was so nice. We were so excited to go. And then Pat was like, I am sick. So he totally got the Dylan virus. And he was sick. He just slept for like 3 days. It was awful. So
you should have come out with us.
Well, we went. I went out anyway with the girls. I took the kids and Baker to our friend's house. I was like, he was like, you should go there. And I was like, okay, I will. So I picked up food from Stella's and brought it over there. And it was just really relaxing. Like after all the craziness of traveling, to be like in their relaxing home and not, you know, just it was like so calm. And the kids play together so nicely. And she got them, like, New Year's resolution trees where they wrote their resolutions.
Trees?
Like, little, she made, like, she's so creative. She went outside and picked all these branches out and, like, created little, they're so cute. She put a picture on our podcast of them.
You should.
I should. So she's amazing. And she, like, created all that and did, like, a whole tablescape and a whole photo booth. And
wow.
It was so fun. But I did miss Pat. You know, it was, like, would have been nicer if he was with us. But he went to bed at 7 p.m. that night. So we got home at, like, 10, and he'd been out for a while.
I had a margarita at the Mexican restaurant, came home, fell asleep on the couch, and Nick woke me up at, like, 11:45 to see the ball drop. I mean, after we got the kids to bed, you know, it was just, like, I'm tired. I, like, passed out. But it was really sweet because he, like, didn't mind at all, and he was all like, wake up, honey, thanks for the ball.
That's very sweet.
Yeah.
As far as resolutions go, I feel like mine don't change that much every year. I always want to be more patient, have a better balance, you know, find better health, be a more loving person, all that same kind of stuff that I always want to do. I feel like after seeing the nutritionist in Long Island, I have kind of marching orders, so I want to figure out some of my nutrition stuff.
Be healthy.
Yeah. Try to do right by myself. I don't know. Be a good enough mom, you know, the huge. But I'm trying to think. But the cool thing was to see, like, what my kids wrote as their resolutions.
Yeah, what did they write?
So Kara wrote make new friends, which was so sweet. And she, like, every time I pick her up from aftercare, she's like, can Valley come over today? I'm like, well, it's a school night. Like, I don't really know.
I know. We should get them together more.
I feel like Kara would love that.
Valley, speaking of personality tests and Myers-Briggs, apparently Valley did the Myers-Briggs test in Alaska.
What?
Yeah, because she goes, Mommy, we did the Myers-Briggs, and I'm an INF. I think it was an INF. I'm assuming it was a P. She's like, it's the type of person that, she's like, and it knew exactly who I was. It's a type that is an author. And I was just so like, cool. And I love that she loved it. And then I was like, you're an introvert? Like, I don't know why.
Yeah.
It's
like, is she an introvert?
Duh, you know, but.
Is she? I don't think I realized that about her.
Yeah, she is. I mean, she definitely, like, needs her alone time. And, like, she is social with people, but, and she, I know she, like, talks up in class, like, raises her hand and stuff, but she's definitely, like, quieter, you know? Like, she's not, like, the leader of the group or anything. But it was just so cute to hear her say that. Because I made Nick take the Enneagram test, and he's always like, these tests are silly, you know?
What did he think of his results?
I think, I will say, I feel like those personality tests, and especially the Enneagram one, maybe because it's the most recent one I took, I feel like it's really hard to separate out, like, when it's asking those questions. For people who are parents and, like, you have to be all these things to your kids and you're, like, you have to, like, help them in so many ways and, like, consider their interests and do, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That it's hard to, like, I feel like it's hard to separate, like, your duty as a parent versus, like, who your personality really is. Like, Nick got the, like, helper, which, like, that he is super helpful and that might, I'm like, is that who you are completely, like, aside from... Do you know what I mean?
I know what you're saying. I hadn't thought about it like that.
Because I kept questioning myself because I was like, do I care about others or do I only care about my kids? And do they count as others or do they count as like sort of like me because they're my family? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's like once you're a parent, like you automatically care about these other people, but maybe that doesn't mean you care about
like all people
or just care like, you know, it's not, I'm not saying people don't care, but like. Care like to this great deal to where like it would qualify you as this one personality type. You know what I mean?
Well, I think we didn't take the same test.
Like
maybe we did.
Badly.
But at the end of it, didn't it say like you're a 77% match with this? You're 87% match with this.
It kind of gave you your top three.
Yeah.
And I think my top one was like majority percentage and the other ones were around like 20-30%. So I didn't even bother to read those because the description of the top one was so big. It was type 7, which is like the enthusiast. And that might have just been what I got because that was, like, whenever I got those questions, those were the easiest to answer. You know, like, yes, I'm definitely that. But the other ones I would, like, flip-flop on.
Mm-hmm.
Which I guess that's what they're trying to find out.
Yeah.
But Nick read the description, and it was basically like, well, Nick was like, great, so you'll never be satisfied in life, and you have the qualities of an addict. And I was like, which is kind of true, but, like, you know, you hear the word enthusiast, and you're like, oh, that means, like, you have all this enthusiasm and passion and ideas. But, like, the description was kind of like, you could also look at it as, I mean, it's hard.
Every rose has its thorn.
Yeah, it's a hard, like, description to be like, it literally said multiple times, it'll never be satisfied. I was like,
Ouch.
Like, yeah. Not sure. I'm really glad I took that test.
Well, mine was totally confirmed what I already knew. Like, mine came out as a strong correlation for peacemaker.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's so many times throughout the day that I hear the kids bickering and I'm like holding my head in my hands being like, all I want is peace. I just want peace. I just want to live in a peaceful home. I just want peace. But so that rang true for me. But those are fun kind of tests.
Yeah.
I kind of like, even more than finding out how they characterize you, I like kind of letting myself to respond to how I am characterized. Like, what do you know what I mean? Like, it's fun for me to read about what the summary is or what it means or how they describe you based on your selections.
Yeah.
But then I like reading what that is and then feeling like what's my emotional response to that description.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, isn't that, like, yours isn't good.
Depressing?
Mine was more uplifting. Although it was like, sometimes you may choose not to have necessary battles because all you want is peace. I'm like, oh, that's true. As my like feral children walk around the house, but can't have it all. Right.
Yeah, you could see it optimistically or pessimistically. Another thing that happened recently is Jacob started daycare. So I just wanted to like give that update. He started his second round of daycare. He is crying a lot and being held a lot, so I can no longer shop or buy anything ever again for the next couple of years.
Welcome to my world.
It's really expensive. But since we're paying so much money, I get to watch him on like a live feed streaming video. So I have it pulled up on my phone, which is great because a little like update app they give you, they've been sending me the pictures of the wrong kid, so at least I can, like, you know, that's comforting, so I can watch the live stream of like my actual kid and watch and see what he's doing. So it's like reality TV daycare.
Are you addicted?
I am addicted. I mean, that guy Jacob is adorable. Like, I love watching him. I watched him today like eat snack together, and there's just something about little tiny people at little tiny tables on little tiny chairs, like it's a little family of tiny people. Aww, you know,
it's too cute.
It was really cute, and I'm sitting there like laughing out loud. I think my boss is probably like, are you working? Like, what? Get back to work.
Enthusiastic.
Yeah. I am the enthusiast.
So it sounds like it's going much better.
Yes, it's going much better. So I think we'll make it through. And, you know, I just have to start my wreath business and get that sponsorship from Target.
Target.
Yeah. Target, please. Okay, Jess, we have to get to TV now because The Bachelor premiered last night.
Oh, my God.
It's been, like, a hot minute since I've seen this show. For real, like, I've, like, you know, followed reading, like, people.com articles. I'm like, Hannah did this or whatever. And I had to, like, catch up Nick during the episode. It was just super annoying because he kept asking questions. And I was like, ugh! Like, no, Hannah, he was number three for Hannah. And then he, like,
so Pat, like, never joins me on the couch or in the TV room when I watch my garbage television. But last night was different. He was like, oh, The Bachelor. And he comes in with, like, a plate of brownies and his tea.
Oh, that's what I needed. Yeah. Nick came down. He's like, I need to talk to you about something with the kids. And I looked at him like, not now, you know? Like,
I'm working.
I didn't even start watching it till 9:30, and I'd already missed an hour and a half. And I was like, can I wait till commercial? And he looked at me like I was just, like, the worst parent, you know? Like, how could you not care about your daughter and what she said? And then, like, after we talked about it, you know, and the commercial was over, and then I was like, I gotta cut out of this conversation. And then he, like, takes a bag of popcorn, and it's, like, reaching, and it's, like, crumple, 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 like, and I had the TV really low because the kids had just, like, Valley was still struggling to get to sleep, and I was like, be quiet, you're eating that popcorn, it's way too loud. And he just looked at me like I was just the meanest, but I was like, can't you pour it in a bowl or something? I was like, there's no subtitles, I can't hear. Like,
well, when you said that we were going to watch it, I was wondering if you were going to start watching it with your kids. Like, if you were going to turn it on while they were still awake. Because I was like, how can we watch it with
them? Not that crazy. I know, but then you're texting me and you're like, this show is just setting women back 1,000 years. And then I felt really bad. And then I was like, I don't know
but
how
I mean,
feel.
Okay.
But it also brings the country together. Like, I, honest to God, I have, like, never heard, like, the only thing I could relate it to was, like, Disney World. It's, like, something that almost everybody has seen or been to and can talk about and relate it. Like,
fair enough.
It's
good point.
It's got a huge followership, I feel
touché.
Like.
If it brings the country together, then it's worth it.
God bless America.
Okay, so I think that, so did you watch when he had them, like, prove that they wouldn't get, like, like, air sick with that whole...
Yeah, I mean, I think Nick was trying to talk to me about the kids then, but yes, I know that one girl had to, like, go to the bathroom and she was crying. There was so much crying.
There was so much
that
crying.
Was... Okay, sorry. First, talk about the spinning. What were you going to say about that?
Well, like, okay, that's just another example of, like, this show being really confusing to me. So, like, it was really important to him that she do this thing that terrified her and made her really uncomfortable that she, on a visceral reaction, didn't want to do because
did
of, like...
Did he tell her that?
Trauma. Well, basically, he was, like, really, when she did it, he was like, it meant a lot to me. Yeah. I mean, and I think that Pat and I were like, can you imagine if one of us was, like, kind of having an emotional,
a
like...
panic attack. She was having a panic attack.
And the other was like...
Means so much to me.
Yeah. Like, can you imagine, like, that would be such a strange relationship to be in. Like, in real life, if that kind of situation was playing out and your partner was responding to you that way.
Yeah, I guess it's... I mean, it would be... You would think the right response would be like, if you want to, I'm proud of you for facing a fear and, like, overcoming it.
Yes.
Not like, you did this for me, and that's so meaningful, you know? Like, it should be about, like, her overcoming her own fears. Or else having the, like, ability to say, no, I don't want to do that, right?
Yeah, instead of, like, I'm so glad you let me control you in this way. And then the other thing that drives me crazy about The Bachelor, and more so The Bachelorette.
There's only one thing?
Well, this is my biggest grievance with The Bachelorette. My biggest grievance with The Bachelorette.
You mean where it's the woman picking from the men?
Yes, yes.
Oh, I thought that one was better.
No, no, the one thing that I hate about it, though the biggest problem I have with the whole thing, is, like, at the end of it, so at the end of The Bachelor, if he wants to propose, he goes ahead and proposes.
Yeah.
At the end of The Bachelorette, if she's chosen the person that she would like to be with, she tells them that, but then waits for him to propose.
You mean, you think she should propose?
Yes!
She should, why doesn't she do that?
This is my question. Why doesn't she propose?
Okay, the next Bachelorette should be chosen who will, like, propose.
Get it together, girl. Yeah.
I know. If it's like, if the man doesn't bend down on one knee and, like... put the ring in front of her.
Well, who's in charge here? Like, you're in charge all season, and then you're not? Like, what's
that
up with that?
That's a really good point, Jessica.
Thank you.
I hope you're listening, showrunners. Like, tell that Bachelorette, if she wants to be engaged, should propose.
What do y'all think?
I don't know. That is a really good point.
And then America is divided again.
Dang it. It doesn't bring us together. Yeah, I'm really thinking about that. Because you know that one Bachelorette, Rachel Lindsay? You know which show I'm talking about?
Yes.
I thought her last two people came down and, like, the one guy, I don't even know if she was going to pick him, but basically, like, the second place guy was like, I'm not ready to get engaged. And I don't even know if I watched the season closely. I might have just read this in articles. And she was like, well, if you're not ready to get engaged, like, I'm going to send you home because I want to be engaged. It was more like she wanted to be engaged more than she wanted to, like, find the love of her life, you know? And she's still with the guy, and I think they are actually getting married, the guy she picked, so I'm really happy for her. But there is all this pressure to get engaged. So my first impressions, like, I missed all the intros. But for the first time and having seen it in a while, like, I still can't get over, like, how young these people are.
They're babies.
Like, the guy is 28, and I watched him go on the one-on-one date with a 23-year-old who's like, I am just ready to find my husband, who's like my father. And he's like, I am so glad you are right there. We are, like, on the same page. And I'm like, she's 23. And I was 24 when I got married the first time, and I think it was way too young. And I'm like, so what, you graduated college and... you're gonna do what I want. I mean, I did it, so I can't speak like I did anything better, but they just look so young, and they are so young. And
Pat and I were babies when we met, but we waited a long time to get married. I don't know.
Yeah.
And it wasn't in a setting like that. But.
Yeah, I think it's just, I don't know. I think The Bachelor is unique because it makes you feel like, haven't these people, like, left their jobs? So they're like, I've left my job, and my one goal is to get married at 23 years old. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and like, I was, like, no better. Like, I was super focused on, like, finding a husband and being in a relationship. So, like, I was no better. But, like, I hope for my kids. And, like, in hindsight, I wish, like, I had spent time, like, pursuing my own goals, like, establishing myself and what I wanted and being solid in that. But easier said than done, right? Like, everybody... I especially can't speak for everybody. Like, there's such a desire to, like, be in love and be loved and be in relationship. But it just, you know, it's still hard, like, 15 years later to be like, you're 23 years old. Like, you could have another goal besides getting married right now. And I know they could just, like, get engaged or, like, find each other and, like, date for a while.
Well, but it does make you wonder, like, most 23-year-olds aren't in that kind of a rush. So if they're on this show and they're in this kind of a rush, are they in it for the right reasons?
Oh, well, I mean, like, half the people aren't there for the right reasons, right? I don't know. It's confusing because half of them are also crying. And it's weird because I'm like, I guess when I first watched the show, because it's been on forever, right? Like, forever. Since we were, like, eight. So, I guess, like, social media wasn't as big, you know? Because now, like, with social media, it's like these people are, like, known before the show even starts, and they've got, like, social media presence, and they can become, like, celebrities just from being on the show.
This is true.
I forget the point I was going to make. What was the question?
Well, maybe they're, like, chasing fame to some extent a little bit.
Yes. Oh, and it's like, well, I guess this happened from being on the show, but I don't know. I just feel like this season, several girls were like, I really thought he was the one for me. Like, they already, I guess, because he, I don't know.
On the first
like,
night.
Maybe it's always like that because they watch him on the previous season that he was on. Not all the Bachelors, I feel like, were on a previous season, but this guy was, like, on the Bachelorette. He didn't get chosen as the final person, so then they made him the Bachelor, right? So, like, all these girls had seen him on TV the previous season, and they're like, really thought he was the one for me. They're, like, crying, like, I love him. I'm like, wait, like.
It reminds me a little bit of, like, college parties. Like, if people had a lot of, like, fancy glitter on their clothes, like, five drinks in, like, these are the conversations you might hear in the bathroom.
Like, I don't know, it's like being in love with a movie star and being like, I watched you on TV and on the movies. I thought, like, we were going to get married.
I know. What is going on?
And it's hard to, like, I'm like, are they really upset about, like, potentially losing him or just, like, losing, you know?
Probably
like,
both, right?
Are you just competitive and you, like, want to stay on the show?
Well, that's the Hannah question, right? Is she back because she's, like,
what is up with her? I don't think she's going to stay on the show, but that was super weird. I mean, I think, honestly, she was just, like, feeling all her regrets. Because I saw her post on social today, like, so happy for you, Pete, being in the pilot seat. And, I mean, she's off at, like, the InStyle, like, all after right. party from the Golden Globes or whatever.
She's living her best life. And don't you feel like when you think back when you first started watching this show, like, it felt like such a much more pure time. Like, the way they would greet each other, they weren't, like, making out on the get-go. Like, it felt like they weren't, like, doing the sex joke challenge. Like, it just felt like
that was super
so
awkward.
Trashy. I just don't know how far we've fallen.
I didn't watch Hannah's season, but it almost feels like it's, like, a shtick now. Like, she's like, I'm a Christian, and I have sex, you know? I'm like, I don't know. Maybe you should pick, like, a different characterization. Like flesh out your character a little bit more. Like,
hey, it sells, right?
I guess. Like, it was, I know they were trying to make it awkward, but yeah, when she was like, you're all going to write a story about sex and then share it, I was like, oh.
The whole thing, I don't know.
But I tell you, when the show came out and I was like, I don't know, in college or whatever, I was like, I want to be on The Bachelor. I never would have gotten picked because I don't have, like, size double D boobs. But I, like, thought about it.
Oh, that's funny.
What else did I like from The Bachelor? Hold on, let me just check. Oh, I do have, like, a sneak detail. So I was checking my wedding photographer's Instagram site or Instagram feed because I follow her. And she had a picture with a bunch of girlfriends standing in front of Pete and one of the ladies on their hometown date. So I know one of the top four contestants. I can't remember her name now, but it's a girl from Virginia Beach. She's got, like, the long hair. She was on the pilot date, the airplane challenge.
The spinny thing.
She was wearing, like, the green outfit, I think.
Now we gotta go back.
I need to look her up.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. She's in the top four.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So I felt like I'd taken a long, like, kind of break from The Bachelor, but now I think I'm back in. Like,
I mean, you gotta follow, right?
Yeah. We have to talk about
Jennifer
it.
Jennifer Aniston, like, cared about who was gonna be picked. When
well... Then why shouldn't all of us?
I mean, if that doesn't sell you, I don't know what will. Okay, so we're in for The Bachelor. More to come on that.
I am more addicted to other television shows, I have to say.
There's not as much hours of those, though. Like, that's a 3-hour premiere. Oh, one last thing about The Bachelor. When Nick was watching, he's like, you know how he, like, greets the girls or whatever, like, on a date? Like, he, like, picks them at the house sometimes. And Nick's like, and all the other girls are just there watching in the background.
And they're like, have fun, but not too much fun.
Nick's like, I want to be there, like, watching the taping of The Bachelor, like, you know.
With his popcorn.
Live audience, like eating his popcorn with the girls, or, like, standing 2 feet away as he picks up the other girl for a date. Oh, you look so beautiful. Like, all the other girls in the background, like, slightly grimacing, like, trying to look happy for her.
That's the real show, right?
Yeah. Do you want to review favorites real quick?
Let's do it.
Okay.
So some of my faves, or I guess, well, one thing I will say is a win, just real quick.
Oh,
is
yeah, sorry. Our wins. What were your wins?
One of my really big wins was when I watched the 3-hour premiere of Bachelor. I did a toy purge.
Yeah, girl.
So, like, the girls and Baker had gone to bed, and nobody was, like, checking me on if I could get rid of something or not.
You ask them for permission?
The answer is always no. So I cannot do that. I just wait until they go to bed, and then I take all their toys and I put them in my car to donate.
You can't listen.
First, let me say, if you guys are listening to this episode, I don't know what this lady is saying.
Better not be, because
we talked
about
scandal. Yeah, we talked about a lot. So, I mean, they didn't even notice. Like, everything looks so tidy, and Baker has so much to play with because it's more visible now. I'm really inspired by Miranda Anderson's book.
Okay.
About, like...
Who is Miranda Anderson?
Okay, thank you. So she's a Richmond... She lives in Richmond. She's, like, a mom blogger, DIY queen. She lives in our neighborhood, and she's got a social media presence, and she's a creator, and she wrote a book, More Than Enough, I think is the name of it. I got it at our local bookshop, BBGB in Carytown, during a Merry Monthly Book Fair, during our kids' book fair. And
What did you say about the book fair? Sorry.
Oh, her book was, like, featured.
Oh,
and
awesome.
I saw, like, this, like, you know, school mom had written this book. So I was like, oh, that's cool. I'll get the book. And I started reading it. Some of it is a little hard for me to, like, you know when people talk and it's all, like, inspirational and aspirational and everything's, like, purposeful and it's like, whew, that's a lot of pressure. Like, I need more jokes in the middle. I need it to be a little, bring it down to my level. Yeah. Dumb it down
not
a little
really
bit.
Not really relating right now. It's all inspirational.
Small doses. Yeah. But I have found it to, like, you know, keeps creeping back into my mind. I'm like,
that's good.
So she, like, talked about this huge toy purge she did, and I was like, now's my moment. I have 3 hours to watch this show and do a toy purge. So I put about five boxes of stuff in my car.
Your kids were already to bed, or was Pat putting them to bed?
I don't know. I just stopped paying attention to them once the show came on. You don't exist right now. Go to your daddy. But so I put all the toys in the car and, like, really late at night, like, under the cover of darkness.
I love how you immediately take them out to the car.
Well, because if they saw them in the morning, they'd be digging through the boxes like, who gave?
We have bags of stuffed animals just sitting in our basement. I'm like, what are we doing
put
right
it
now?
In my car. I'll donate it to Sacred Heart or Goodwill. There's a lot of places that would, like, all that. And I have swap on Friday. If you want me to take some of your stuff or there. But so that was a huge win. I feel so much lighter. How about you? Any big wins?
Do I have any wins?
I still think your date night's a win.
Yeah. I think if we have a date night, that will definitely be a win. And it was a win that my husband, you know.
He wants to spend time with you.
Wants to do that. Yeah.
You have an amazing new babysitter? Is this right?
Well, I thought that was you.
Oh. Do I? Oh, yeah, I do have an amazing new babysitter. I can't tell where you end and I begin. It's all a blur. So our, my friend who invited us to her house for New Year's, her babysitter is a teacher in the county.
Like a grown-up?
Yeah, she's like a real grown-up. And so she'll watch the kids sometimes, and she like babysits just for, you know, extra money.
Awesome.
So I met her through that way, and I was like, do you ever babysit like in my neck of the woods? I have three kids. And she's like, sure, I'd love to. And she's
does
the third.
Does she babysit for seven kids at once?
Yeah, she totally does. Oh, we should go out.
She's a teacher. Like.
She's a third grade teacher. So Kara had a test the next day, and Dylan had a test the next day. She like tutored them,
what?
Like got them ready for their tests, put all three of them to bed, and she only charges like $13 an hour.
What?
So we paid her a little
that
more.
That is insane.
I mean,
we paid a 12-year-old like $20 an hour, and that's why we don't have dates anymore. Oh my gosh.
Yes. So I forgot about my amazing new babysitter, but she is amazing. And then afterwards, like, we gave her, like, a good amount of money. And then I texted her, like, thank you so much. But then she didn't write back. So I'm like, I hope she likes me. I hope she likes our kids. Feeling a little insecure. We'll see if she takes me up on my next babysitting gig. To be determined. Oh, stay tuned.
She's like, that was a lot of work.
I know. She might be like, especially the parents, but who knows.
Oh, my gosh.
So have you found any treasures in the shops these days?
I have a few favorites. Now that I'm trying to, like, calm down my shopping, I'll share, like, my, like, last purchases I made before daycare started. One of them, I got this brand called Lash Food, like L-A-S-H Food, F-O-O-D, and they have a serum and a brow gel, and it's, like, clean beauty. That's very hard to find for, like, a brow serum. It's, like, the only one that I know that's, like, non-toxic clean beauty. I think I got it on either Anthropology or Sephora. I might have got it on Anthro, like, on sale for Christmas. So, nice. Yay, getting it on sale and being clean beauty. So, I got the serum. I don't know, do my brows look hairier? I'm not sure. But
nice.
It takes, like, 6 weeks or something to kick in.
You want more brow?
Yeah, more brow. But the gel, I feel like it's gone pretty good. Like, you know what I mean? It's on a little wand, and it's got, like, a brown dye, and then you, like, brush it over your brows, and it's supposed to stick to your hairs, and, like, at the ends is, like, really helpful, where, like, your ends get, like, light. You're, like, looking at me like,
I never considered this, any of this. It's very informative.
It is hard to apply just right. Like, I feel like I apply it, like, it gets on my skin, then it spreads, and then I'm trying to, like, do it just right. I take a clear mascara wand and try to, like, dry it off and, like, space it out some, but it really makes a difference. Like, I tried to wear it a couple days, and I'm still working on it to, like, get it perfect, and I don't even know if I have the right shape brows, but it's nice.
Your brows look good.
It's working.
I feel like I have always had a unibrow, so I can't imagine trying to have more brow, because I'm already...
maybe not more brow right in the middle, but, like, everywhere else.
All right.
So I used to pluck, and now I don't. I haven't, like, I completely stopped plucking, and I probably need to do, like, a couple... And I don't know if I can do much more shape, but I love bushy brows, so I'm going to try to, like, you know, give me some...
Get you some.
Get me some. The quarters, the ends. So Lash Food. And then I got myself some boots because, oh, I told you, I think I said your daughter was sick over Christmas and your husband. I was sick over Christmas. I think the first day, like, first full day I took off for vacation, my baby threw up all over me. So that was awesome. So we were sitting in Panera, and he threw up all over my clothes.
The only way to do it in a restaurant.
On my shoes and on the floor. And I was like, oh, no. And so I had to, like, you know, kind of, like, wipe it off with a napkin and try to, like, leave. And it was, like, packed. No. Valley and David were there. Like, the restaurant was
more
completely
kids.
Packed. There was throw up everywhere. And you were just kind of like... I just feel like throw up is the most, like, embarrassing thing in the world. And so, like, my shoes were already kind of, like, I'd already been, like, looking for replacements. But, like, once he had, like, vomited over them, I was like, there's no salvaging these. Like,
it's over.
He's got to go in the trash. So I got some Fry boots, which I've never purchased before. But they're nice. I got them off Zappos. They're, like, suede. They kind of look like Nick's Clarks. I guess they're just, like, real suede shoes. And I guess I've never had those. And they're, like, a purplish gray.
Nice.
Because I was looking for, like, a gray or a taupe, and I really like them. So, they weren't the most expensive Fry boots. Like, Fry boots really get up there, but I definitely felt a little guilty buying them. But then, like, my husband didn't buy me any more Christmas presents, and I didn't have anything to open on Christmas morning, so I was like, I feel like I deserve
may
some
as well.
Fry boots.
Yeah, after our... after all of our holiday buying,
yeah,
I was like, realized how little money we have left. So replenishing my savings is important right now. But I ran into you at the Target store
on
the 25. So it was 90% off whatever was left of Christmas, which was basically wrapping paper.
Yeah, that's all they had.
We loaded up. It was super thrilling. That was exciting. So I love that
moment.
It was
25 cents.
25 cents for like a huge roll of Made in the USA wrapping paper.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
I love how you know it was Made in the USA. I thought my family was the only one that looked at that.
Oh, no, it's so good. It makes you feel good, right?
Yeah.
The other favorites, we've discovered a meal that every one of us eats. It's taco night at our house. So, yay, we have a meal we all eat.
Do you assemble them or do you just lay out all the bowls?
Well, I assemble Baker's when he tells me what to put in there.
Yeah.
Kara and Dylan assemble their, the rest of us assemble our own tacos. But yeah, we have like the bowls with the spoons self-serve, which is also nice.
I don't know why we haven't been doing that. Nick is such a, like a meat and like rice guy with the steamed vegetable on the side. Like he hates like having all these dishes out. Because the taco would be totally me. I'd be like, here's 20 bowls with 20 spoons, you know? And he'd be like, I was trying to use just three dishes for everything, you know?
I mean, it's just inevitable, the dirtying of the kitchen.
All right, we need to go back to tacos.
And then the other favorite, which is like a local shout out, is there is a restaurant in Richmond called Laura Lee's.
Yeah.
And we went with some friends before the holiday just to have like a couple's dinner out.
Why are you never inviting Nick and I on these friends?
Come.
Jessica?
You probably know these people. They're from
Midlothian.
I
don't know how to take this.
No, I would love that. So my friend Laura, she's like, so you and Nick, you each have friends, right? Do you
kind
have? Of course you do. I mean, Pat doesn't.
I have you.
Oh, I have you. So Laura Mason is like the one person that Pat and I have that's both of our friends.
Oh, right. Because you met her.
So we met her at the same time when we did AmeriCorps.
Seattle.
Yeah.
Oh, San Francisco.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So she's like.
She lives here?
Well, she's from here.
Oh.
But she lives in San Fran / Seattle. She has like two homes in the coolest cities.
Wow.
I know. This is like what you have when you don't have kids. You have like prime real estate. But it was really fun to hang out with her and her husband at Laura Lee's. And we just had such a. It was, you know, like you forget how cool our city is and how good the food is
because
we don't take advantage of it because of the aforementioned debt that we're in.
Yeah.
But when you do go out there, it's nice to really do it up and appreciate
it.
That was super fun. A little Richmond excitement.
Thanks for joining us today as we recounted Jess's valiant attempts to hook up her friends with her doctors. She is definitely a friend you want in your corner. We also distinguished family holiday traditions, including a visit from the elves themselves. We found out that the quietest child in our pack of seven discovered an affinity for WWE. Hello! We rounded out our discussion with our take on the new season of The Bachelor with white t-shirt wearing Pete the Pilot. If you like what you hear, please share the Oh Mama podcast with your friends and family. Don't forget to subscribe, and please leave a review on Apple Podcasts. We'd love to hear from you. Tell us about your matchmaking endeavors and what you think of The Bachelor. You can find us at Oh Mama Podcast, that's OHMOMMA, with Libby and Jess on Instagram and Facebook. Bye, everyone.